want to talk to you now about a slightly different twist on all the processes you know. My job is not to make a parrot out of you. If you think that that is what we're supposed to do here, you have this confused with education. And this is not education. We hardly even use the word student. It's seldom used. I keep away from it. Because, in essence, your reaching this should be in the direction of understanding, not in the direction of simply a bunch of rote materiel. It does follow that it has been found over a long period of time now that there are certain elements which, if processed, produce results. And there are certain ways to go about this that produce those results. And if we follow that, we get there. Well, a clarification of existence certainly is in order before we could really communicate on the subject of existence. A real communication on the subject of existence would be a clarification on the subject of existence, wouldn't it? So, in interests of good communication, and in interests of good communication with yourself in the pre-clear, we take these various parts of existence and we codify them in such a way as we don't get into a confusion as to what we are talking about. Therefore, we define them very carefully, and we discover that if we do that, we communicate. Now, we have very definite, positive items on the subject of the mind. They are not nebulous. They are not up in the air. They are not full of questions and maybes and a great many additional cases, which are special cases. I love these scientific definitions which say, the wump which squared by the A and B and cubed is always and invariably cube root. And then say, except in the following cases, and then we go on for the rest of the book. That's a way not to communicate, isn't it? You give a guy a big certainty, you see, and then we say, this isn't the case, however, in the following cases, wherever it's applied to existence. So we take what we can codify and what we have found to be those highest echelons of existence, and we find out that we have some very positive, easy-to-communicate things. We go over those things. We know those well. Then, of course, it would follow that these, being the essential parts, evidently, of existence itself, when addressed to the pre-clear in such a way as to let him find out within himself if these are or are not true, would produce a partial or complete expansion of his ability to communicate, too. And when we had finished this, why, we would, of course, have what we call clear. We could say a clear is somebody who could communicate. And therefore, an individual who has a long communication lag on something, of course, isn't clear on that thing. So he isn't communicating on that thing, obviously. And we could just follow through the whole definition of clear, and you could say somebody who can communicate. How clear is he? Well, he's first dynamic clear. He can communicate with his foot. We finally got him to a point where he can communicate with both feet, both shoulders, both hands. He'd be a first dynamic, messed clear. You know, he can communicate internally. That's quite a trick, by the way. You'd be surprised how many people can't. All right, now let's take a second dynamic clear. Well, this person could certainly communicate in all directions and so forth on the subject of sex, continuation of the physical line, also infants, and also he could communicate broadly on the family basis, which comes into the second dynamic. So this fellow would be in good communication too, wouldn't he? Well, now, if he could communicate in all directions that had immediately to do with that, he would be a second dynamic clear. Simple. All right, now a third dynamic clear, though, would be something else. This individual not only have to be able to communicate within his own group fairly well and easily, but he would also have to communicate really from group to group fairly easily, too, one way or the other. And he would be what you'd call a third dynamic clear. Now, somebody who could communicate with man at large and who could comprehend all the various species, that is, say, races of man, and who had some comprehension of this, you could say he was a fourth dynamic clear. And now it would take somebody who could handle various animal bodies. Well, let's get more intimate now. He could handle various animal bodies. He could handle plant bodies. He could handle any life form and yet be free of any life form. If he had to be, he would be a fifth dynamic clear, all right? Now we get a sixth dynamic clear, by golly, he'd really be clear because he'd be clear in the physical universe. And he'd be clear on the subject of space, as much as space exists, and he would be clear as well on the subject of various energies, and he would be clear on the subject of objects. You know, he could communicate with objects or not communicate with them at will, and he could communicate with time. Well, you say right away, if he could communicate with time, this fellow ought to be able to appear in 1776 at will. Well, the funny part of it is, you see, 1776 is a complete illusion, which you and I have agreed upon. The fact is that the particles which are in existence in 1776 are in existence today. They just happen to be in a different pattern. So the communication on the subject of time would be the communication with any variation of pattern which exists. Well, he would then be a sixth dynamic clear. And that would be clear because he could get out of the physical universe if he was able to meet all those requisites. Now, seventh dynamic clear would just start to take in all universes all over this place. He could get in or out of these, or handle these, or be in communication with these at will, and an infinity clear would be something that we wouldn't know anything about. It certainly is not clear as far as the Christian God is concerned. I mean, that would not be an eighth dynamic clear and be a very short-sighted line. You'll develop the idea after a while that I'm not a Christian. As a matter of fact, I am Christian. It says so right in the baptismal records of the Episcopal Church, the Baptist Church, the Unitarian Church. Let's see, where else was I baptized? Christian Science Sunday School. Enrollment in the... lots of Christian organizations, which, of course, makes a person a Christian. There is no other definition. Well, if you wanted to lay down a definition of what is Christian, why, of course, that'd be different. But it's whether he belongs to or ever goes to a church. That's the more or less accepted definition of a Christian, except those people who don't, and they say they're Christians in spite of the fact they don't go to church. The only reason I'm introducing this interesting word Christian in the eighth dynamic is there any possibility of being clear on it? Why? It doesn't exist in a finite state. It isn't definable. Unless you and I get together and promulgate the definition of Christianity, it's not something one could be clear on. One could be confused on it then, couldn't one? But not clear on it. So there'd never be such a thing as a Christian clear. That is to say, I am clear as far as Christianity is concerned. It is a sort of a booby trap of understanding. If you don't believe so, look down the line sometime at Christian Science itself. They start out all of their sermons on the subject of something about the infinite mind and infinite space. The trap you're in, fella, is infinite. Therefore, you can't get out of it. That begins the service of every Christian Science. Service begins it. Little phrase, infinite mind and infinite space. Those are not definable. All right. Therefore, as long as we have definabilities, we can have a person clear on the definabilities, can't we? Well, where we don't have a definability, he couldn't possibly be clear because we wouldn't know ourselves what he was supposed to be clear on. See? We wouldn't know what he was supposed to communicate with, in other words. And if we don't know what he's supposed to communicate with, then we can't establish whether or not he's supposed to communicate with it or whether or not he is communicating with it. So, of course, we can't come to any agreement on the subject of whether or not this individual will be clear on that subject. Now, the only booby traps of life are its confusions. Those are the only possible traps. If you want to get into a real hot theta trap, it is one where all the energy is moving in one direction while it all moves in another direction in curly cues at the same time. There's so much movement of so many particles that you can't possibly keep track of any orienting point. And not having an orientation point, you, of course, cannot be found. You can't find yourself in this. Therefore, you're confused and lost in it. Now, your preclear is lost in life. Simply because he has come into contact with too many things, such as Christian. You know, what's a Christian? What isn't a Christian? What is God? What isn't God? And so forth. Nobody has an orienting point from this. They put the orienting point 2,000 years ago, and then you can't communicate with it. See, 2,000 years ago and in a book, how can you possibly orient from such a nebulous point? If you were to build an enormous temple somewhere in the middle of the country, Make it big enough, massive enough, a lot of hattiness, and you were to put in it, I don't care whether it was some empty space or an altar or anything else, and you were to say, this is. And people say, this is what? You say, this is religion. This is religion. Stable, see, it stands right there. Why, people, of course, could be clear on the subject. See, nothing to it. I mean, they got an orienting point. They can go over there and take a look. The Mohammedan world depended for its cohesion utterly upon the fact that people could go to Mecca. It was in existence, and there was a meteorite back there. It used to float in the air. Somebody buried another meteorite in the ground or something like that, and you had the other upper meteorite floating in the air. Fascinating manifestation. And they used to be able to go over to Mecca and look around, and the space of the Mohammedan world then had a point from which it could be viewed. And if you don't have a point to view from on any subject, well, you, of course, really have a lot of nebulosity. Every time the HAS shifts around or changes its office space or something of the sort, you get an immediate decline, momentary, but immediate decline of its mailing list, its responses, the amount of materiel which flows along the line. You get an immediate reduction. See? That's because it has become less a point to view from, as far as an organization is concerned. Now, we're not classifying this as a religion. We're just demonstrating here that people will cling to this. A piece of knowledge all by itself isn't evidently good enough. It's not an orienting point, unless a person is in a state where he can consider a piece of knowledge an orienting point. See that? But if that piece of knowledge were really definite, really finite, really comprehensible, it would then be an orienting point. And in absence of that very definite thing, you have to have something as solid as a big piece of mist. See, there's no in-between there. No energy flow is ever an orienting point. So, in this science, as it should be and is not in any science, you have certain points which are well-defined enough and precise enough to be themselves orienting points. Because the preclear's mind responds to these orienting points, you in processing, orienting. You're orienting him in the only way he can really be oriented permanently, and that's by pure knowledge. You are conveying by whatever mechanical means pure knowledge to your preclear, by permitting him to work out his confusions, which is to say his communication lags, on any part of this pure knowledge. And you have it. You clear him then if you've worked out all of his communication lags on these parts of pure knowledge. Now, what are these parts of pure knowledge? They are very basically knowingness. What is knowingness? Knowingness is certainty of consideration, you might say. Knowingness is certainty of consideration. I know I consider it that way, therefore I know. Now, we get down below that, and we get a less certain operation when we get into look. Although people accept that as far more certain than knowing. So your preclear is liable to hang up on looking. See, not go into knowing at all. He finally has gotten to the point where he can see the fire plug in the lamppost, and he's decided, boy, that's good enough for me. Well, actually, he isn't there at all. Now, we get down the line, we find out that the whole subject from know on down is when, into knowingness, attention enters. When attention, a lot of attention, enters into knowingness, it starts to condense in form of particles, and so we get first lookingness, which is utterly dependent upon particle flows, and then we get a condensation of lookingness, which is emotingness, and we get a condensation of emotion, and we get effort, and we get a condensation of effort, and we get thinking. Thinking could be said to be the knowingness which tries to go around and through the trees of the forest of effort. That's thinking. It's an avoiding part of going through effort. That's figure. Then we get down immediately below that into symbols, which is condensed thinking. A word, for instance, is a thinkingness package. And now we get below that and we get a condensation of symbols. And a symbol is something which is mobile has mass and has meaning. Has to be mobile, has to have mass, has to have meaning. You find that'll work out as a definition of a symbol very well, and we condense that, and of course we get animals and life forms and all kinds of things of this character. And we're down into, when we get down into life forms, the upper band of it, we don't have eatingness. That is, just below symbols, we don't have eatingness, you know, but we get immediately into eatingness, interchanges, because we're already below the effort band. Now we get down below that, and we get sex, which is an effort to continue because we can't stay here. We can't remain as we are, so let's put something on the track that we can go up the line and be, you know, where it's safe. That is the ultimate in escape. And you'll find that people who are having a hard time with sex have already passed the point where they thought it was possible to escape as themselves. They can't escape as themselves. This is sort of pinned down right there. But they can at least surreptitiously and covertly put something on the line that'll go up in a pair someplace else, and they can skip up to that, although they're destroyed as a form here. That's sex. All right, we get this no down to sex scale. And then we get somethingness and nothingness. And those, of course, have very precise definitions. Nothingness, the definition of an absolute nothingness, is something without mass, without wavelength, without location in space, and without location in time. It's not in the past or the present or the future. It's not in any space. It has no mass, and so on. And this would actually be a mechanical nothingness. Now you could make it a total nothing, but I say it has no meaning either. That even takes the consideration out of nothingness. You really strip it down. Saw a cartoon one day, you really got to hand it to him, all these formulas on the board, each one adding up to nothing. You really got to hand it to him, he's reduced the whole thing to zero. Well, now you can even take the meaning out of nothingness, and you have an absolute, absolute nothingness. But an absolute mechanical nothingness would be something without motion, without wavelength, without mass, without position, and without position in time. And that would be nothing. Actually, the mathematician, this is vital enough, by the way. That isn't just an idle definition. That is so vital to this community of science that every time one of these scientists in mathematics writes nothing, he has put a wild variable into his equation. And even in algebra, elementary algebra, you can throw a nothing into an equation and have 1 equal 2. Or 3 equals 6, anything you want to, just by throwing a nothing into the equation, throwing a zero into the equation. And they've known this for years, but it has never occurred to anybody before Scientology that nothing was a variable. You see, it's variable to the degree of how much location does this nothingness have. You could have a nothingness with some location, a nothingness with some position in time, a nothingness with some mass in it, a nothingness with a wavelength. You know, you could have just a little bit of those entering into it, and of course you get wild variables. Therefore, when you get into quantum mechanics, you have to add what they call bugger factors into equations to make them balance, because you've thrown a nothing in it. Why does the bugger factor have to be in quantum mechanics? Well, there's nothingnesses in quantum mechanics. And every time one of those nothingnesses is there, it's a wild variable. All right, now what's a somethingness? A somethingness would be a considered existence. A nothingness has no location in space. A somethingness does have location in space. A nothingness has no location in time. A somethingness does have location in time. A nothingness has no wavelength. A somethingness does have wavelength. A nothingness has no mass. A somethingness does have mass. And we have defined a somethingnesses. A somethingness, an absolute somethingness, would be something which had position in space, in time, with wavelength, and mass. And that would be a somethingness. What are all these things? Well, they're manifestations. And what do you boil them all down to? They're manifestations of a perception which we consider exist. And as we consider and agree they exist, so they exist. So the difference between something and nothing is actually a consideration, isn't it? That's about the end of it. But we nevertheless have these two things as essentials in Scientology. Now we go over and look at the cycle of action of the meshed universe, which you're likely to forget sometime or another. That you can always run end of cycle on anything, and the guy feels free. He just never finished his cycle off. And that end of cycle goes create, survive, destroy. And a person who is at the create end can also be at the destroy end easily, and where they go is not a straight time plot along the curve, because that curve is time itself, so therefore you don't plot it as time. It actually retreats from create and survive equally as an individual gets worse and worse off, less and less able to create and destroy. As he gets less and less able to create, he's less and less able to destroy. As he's less and less able to destroy, he's less and less able to create. You want to know what's happened to some artist, why he can no longer write stories, you find out that he was unable to destroy a lot of things. And as he was unable to destroy these things, so he lost his creative ability. And he gets right up there on the peak of this action curve, and he gets right there at survive. Will you let anybody finish anything? And they come off of this cycle of action of the meshed universe and get back into a time stream on that subject, because things have gotten parked off of that time stream. Individuals not been able to complete cycles of action. Fine, that's a very important thing. Very important to consider that. What is the cycle of action of a body? It's created, it survives, and it dies. And that plots the cycle of action against time. But the cycle of action purely is time itself, so it doesn't plot against time. All right, now our next set of factors which are important on this are affinity, reality, communication. Affinity would be the degree of similarity. Communication would be the cause, distance, effect manifestation. And reality would be the degree of agreement or disagreement. Of what, in each case? Consideration. We consider we like something. We consider we dislike something. We consider we agree with something. We consider we don't agree with something. We consider that we are communicating, and whatever we're communicating to considers that we are communicating to it. Therefore, we get agreement. Agreement is whether or not you, considering that you're communicating with something, are met with the fact that whatever you're communicating to now considers that you did communicate with it. That's agreement. And we work that around, and we get ARC. So we get the other factors involved on this. Now, we get the dynamic principle of existence as far as life itself in form is concerned, and this is actually at the level of symbols. That's way down by symbols. You know, it's a form, it has mobility, and it has mass, and it has meaning. A symbol, a life form. These things are very much the same thing. A symbol, a life form. Mass, meaning, mobility. And your tree has mobility just to the degree that it can indulge in sex, which is to say plant another tree someplace. Survive as another tree. So we get this as a modus operandi of life. And the modus operandi of life is to survive. And it falls well away from creating and destroying. And when we say life, of course, we mean theta at work in the physical universe. And theta at work in the physical universe produces life forms sooner or later, somewhere along the line, as you come down the condensation scale. So we get life trying to survive, and we get the principle of senior survival. As an individual comes more and more up to the peak of this cycle of action curve, he is less and less cognizant of the remaining dynamics. And being less and less in communication with the remaining dynamics, more and more considers that exactly where he is locates totally all the dynamics. And therefore, he is right there at the peak, and he is all the dynamics at the peak. He is dynamics 1 to 8, existing as a totally resistive piece of cactus. A cactus is God. He is cactus, and he is God, and so on. We get the only one complex. He has fallen out of complete communication with the rest of the universe and has backed himself up to this entirely condensed state. Well, now, what application do you see here? Well, naturally, you get rivalry and competition on any only one because he has already decided and agreed within himself that he is the only one. Well, if he's agreed this within himself, that he is now the only one, and he finds there is another only one, this is out of agreement, isn't it? So he will naturally, when he's gotten to that state, he will then disagree with every other life form, even though it's quite similar to him. You know, a man considers he's the only one, so therefore he has to disagree with every other man. Because it's out of the agreement of the fact that he contains himself all 8 dynamics, and he is the only one who contains these 8 dynamics, and this is what he feels and what he's agreed to. And immediately, of course, that somebody else shows up and says he's in a like condition, this individual can't do this affinity. See, because the agreement's wrong. He theoretically, you see, could stay in affinity, but he doesn't consider that he can, and all this is consideration after all. So what do we get? We get him fighting those things which are most like himself. The Christian church, for instance, when it first came into Rome, was confronted with another church which promised life immortal and everything else, practically everything the Christian church. Mithridates, I think it was. It's the worship of Mithras, wasn't it? We know practically nothing about that huge religion, which was the religion of the Roman soldier of the day. And, boy, the Christian church, finding that very like itself, never left a stone standing on a stone in any temple anywhere in that religion. They destroyed all its books, its priests, its temples, and just rubbed them into nothing but sand. Why? Christian church set itself up to be the only one. It found something else that was being the only one. It couldn't agree because it had already agreed on a prior agreement to something else. And this was an impossible situation, so the only end of it was just completely to destroy this other one. This would make good the postulate that it was the only one. All right. This might seem in controversy to the cycle of action of the physical universe. It might seem that ARC is thrown out of line. You say agreement. But the emphasis of the agreement here is on being the only one. And then all of a sudden something comes up and calls them a liar. It's the same as they are. You'd say, therefore, there'd be affinity. Oh, no. There is no hate such as brother against brother. They're too much alike. Each one has agreed he's the only one. And then they find the other one. Whee. We're going to have fireworks here. Because the prior agreement is the one which is being validated. So we get the upper principle. Validation. What do you validate? That which you validate lives. And this has to do with granting of beingness. You grant life to things. Every time you grant to yourself the consideration that they live. This is the granting of beingness, the granting of life, and so forth. And life stays in connection with each other simply as long as it grants each other life. But things, when they stop granting life to other things, fall out and become separate soul units, unable to communicate, in very bad shape, fallen away, trapped, you might say. And so as things are granted beingness, so they live. And as they are not granted beingness, so they die. So if you start validating affinity, reality, and communication, and validating a broadening of affinity and reality and communication, you are, of course, having the individual grant wider and wider beingnesses to existence, and you find him in broad communication and therefore in good shape. That's about all there is to it. But if you kept validating and processing bad off, bad off, bad off, bad off, bad off, bad off, why, he'd eventually have nothing alive but something that was bad off. See that? He's just made it alive. You could actually sit pre-cleared down and have him concentrate upon the horrors of marital life to such a degree and trap him from doing anything else, you see, from, but consider this. Don't let it run out, in other words. And he eventually would come to the idea that it was horrible. What actually happens, though, when you, an auditor, direct a pre-clear's attention toward something like an engram, which is supposed to discharge? Something very interesting happens. You got a prior consideration at work. The consideration is he's supposed to get well. He injects pure life into it, and therefore its entangled communications come apart. He grants the beingness of flow to it. He grants the beingness of life to it. And as it is a thing which is dead, as it comes to life, it just throws all of its lines and so forth apart, and it starts to disentangle. It's very funny, but you can get a pre-clear to look at patches of energy and just watch them disintegrate. You grant beingness to them. As he brings things to life, so they live. And our definition of livingness, of course, includes the third dynamic. He has broadened things. So, actually, it's pretty hard to concentrate somebody's attention on things that are bad all the time. It's pretty hard to do that and then produce a bad condition for the individual. The way you produce a bad condition is to then inhibit him from putting his attention on things that are bad and make him look the other way. And ignore, you know. Leave those bad things alone. And if you make him leave those bad things alone long enough, they'll bite him. You've made him subject to them, and they haven't got much life in him, so he dies. And therefore, you get granting of beingness and validation. When we finally look over this picture, we find that by using these various definitions, which I've just covered again, integrating them and injecting life into them, your pre-clear becomes oriented. He gets free, and he becomes clear, dynamic by dynamic, subject by subject. When you cleared him on all these subjects, he's in real good shape. And he has produced the commodity which you set out to produce.